Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we venture to the great outdoors just outside of Bozeman. We head to Bodie Farms, located in the Cottonwood Canyon. Here, owners Rainer and Tanya Smith share their belief that a rich life is one that is rooted in its connection with nature and sustainability. On 35 acres, a guest can stretch and massage her body and soul into wellness. She can slumber in a glamping Nordic teepee by the babbling creek. No sound machine needed here. After whipping up the waters with a fly rod or saddling up for a mountain tour, she can nourish her appetite with bounty cooked from the on-site garden and local products procured from nearby providers. My visit on this evening is to attend the multi-course bison dinner created by executive chef Eric Gunnifson. Here I meet Matt and Sarah Skoldland of North Bridger Bison. The next day, we will head out to the Shields Valley to hear their story of raising this ox-like grazing mammal. The Sanskrit word Bodhi means enlightenment or awakening. Owner Rainer Smith shares how he and his wife Tanya inhaled life into Bodhi Farms.
Bodhi Farms is kind of an amalgamation of my wife and my passions. She's a yoga instructor. We've always been gardeners. We love to entertain. We love to camp. And so all those passions came together in what we call a boutique eco-resort.
At this boutique eco-resort, co-owner Tanya Smith wants the guests to experience their Big Sky space to its fullest in body and spirit.
What my husband and I have created here has to do a lot with our intention of creating a unique and beautiful space that provides creative, authentic experiences that is surrounded by nature. We want people to realize how important it is to support local and how easy it is to grow your own foods, how much better it tastes. And so really hoping that people get these little takeaways through the experiences here. We don't have plastic water bottles or single-use plastic. Almost everything on our menu comes from our farm or locally sourced. Everything that we've built has been built sustainably. So truly trying to create an inspiration for people to do a little bit better in their daily practice.
The couple beckons from the Lone Star State. So what brought them to Big Sky Country?
We're a couplepreneur. We met in college, TCU in Fort Worth, and have worked together ever since.
And the working together brought to life Bodhi Farms.
I was traveling a lot for work. I was in the solar industry, and we had moved here to Bozeman to be here, not to be away from here, and so we wanted to be a part of the community.
So what did Rainer and Tanya do to become a part of the Bozeman community?
And so our passion project, our idea for Bodhi, started to form, and after years and years of dreaming and trying to put it together, and with the support of friends and family, we pulled it off.
Unfortunately, for the Smiths, the pulling off of their dream project was not timed perfectly, for the world took a challenging turn.
We opened in June 2020, right during COVID, and had all of this beautiful food growing in our gardens and ended up pivoting a little bit, not opening the restaurant right away. So we started doing farm parties, farmers markets during the summer, which we continue to do now. And it's a really fun community event that has live music, local foods. We're adding some different barbecue menu items this summer to it. But I would say for the most part, we've come a long way from that point of trying to figure out what we were going to do with the beautiful vegetables and produce and herbs that we had grown.
Experiencing Bodhi Farms is taking advantage of all the possibilities the resort has to offer. Here, Total Emergence brings the most insight.
The experience of coming out here is one that's an emergence into our gardens and activities on the farm. We have open fire culinary classes. We have naturalist classes, nature walks and tea making. We have garden volunteering. And then we help coordinate a lot of off-site activities as well, including drift boat, fly fishing, and horseback riding, and all the great things that there is to do in the area. And you feel like you're 100 miles away, so it kind of gets that connection with nature. It kind of scratches that itch.
The other itch that can be scratched or stretched and meditated on is the practice of yoga. Here, the discipline is experienced with Mother Nature.
Our yoga shala does stay pretty busy just with our classes for the community and for our overnight guests and whoever wants to join us. It's situated along the creek and is just about one of the prettiest spots. My wife was trained in Costa Rica, and that's where we made our first connection with yoga, which was all outdoors or no walls anyway. And when we came back to the States, a lot of the yoga just seemed to be in retail centers, one mirror wall and lots of sheetrock. And we didn't really have a place where we could practice and have that connection. And so we gave one of the prettiest spots on the farm to the yoga shala, and it's a pretty awesome place to practice.
So what can a yogi expect when executing mountain, downward dog, or warrior poses here?
It's in a giant Nordic teepee, and all the sides raise up during the summer, so it's completely open air with no walls. And we have a heated wood floor, which makes it a little more comfortable on those cooler mornings. And it's situated right along the creek, and it's kind of interesting. My favorite part about it is when you're laying down on the floor and looking at the creek comes right at the yoga shala, and then it kind of takes a sharp turn under a little hill. So when you're laying there, it just looks like the river's flowing right at you constantly. And it adds a euphoric aspect to your exercise, which is kind of neat.
And after a day of activities, a guest can retreat to one of the glamping tents, a Nordic teepee. Glamping is the union of glamour and camping, meaning one can be with Mother Nature and yet luxuriate in all of the human comforts. In the tents, a guest might even be able to hook up with a Wi-Fi signal, depending on her location.
So we have 9 luxury glamping teepees. They're all along Cottonwood Creek there, and the sound at night, we have a lot of owls that live in these woods here, and so between the owls and the sound of the water, it's a pretty amazing sleep. You don't need to bring your white noisemaker. And we have real nice foam mattresses and high thread count sheets, so it all makes for a pretty amazing experience. And whether someone's just looking to pamper themselves or someone that's like never camped and they want to kind of dip their toe in it.
The pampering continues to the nourishment that is served up at Bodie Farms.
So our restaurant is a field kitchen at Bodie Farms. And if you look up field kitchen, the definition of it is kind of a mobile kitchen, a chuck wagon, a military soup trailer or whatever, but something that's mobile food related. And we started pouring the foundation for our restaurant in March of 2020. And so when everything kind of flipped upside down and got turned around, we decided to finish developing our event venue and our glamping venue and only building the outdoor portion of our restaurant just because we didn't know what the world was going to do. And so for 4 months out of the year, which are just, well, some would argue is the best time to come out, but it's along the waterfall on the creek, a big beer garden style patio, and the kitchen's outside and all the seating's outside, a lot of it undercover. And so for a place to eat in the summer, it's just about as pretty as it gets.
The event area is several yards away from the outdoor communal al fresco dining area. Inside a trailer is a kitchen facility and bar. For tonight's event, a teepee is set up right outside the building with the back of its skirt lifted to connect up with the structure.
And eventually, in another year or two, we're going to circle back and finish building the indoor part of the restaurant. But the way we are set up in our event venue over here, our field kitchen restaurant has a home for 8 months out of the year over here. So it kind of travels around the farm with the seasons a little bit.
The event venue is an open grassy field with views to the nearby pine tree covered mountain slopes.
So along this area here, there's these giant interlinked teepees that make our event venue and the covered space for our venue. And in this yard out here with the canyon view is the grounds for the venue and where the people gather and celebrate for the weddings.
And many other celebratory events. Tonight, there's a fire pit with logs throwing warm flames and crackling from oozing sap. Just down the way is the vegetable garden for summer harvest. The goal at Bodie Farms is zero waste, so across from the garden is a large outdoor pen for raising pigs. Scraps from the kitchen go to feeding these creatures along with the chickens. The farms carry free-ranging to another level as the chickens are moved around the property in a mobile coop.
Yeah, we get 2 pigs every year, and they're part of our zero food waste system that we operate during the summer. And then we enjoy their bounty after we harvest them in the fall. And our 2 little piglets are coming here in a few weeks, so we're excited to get this year's round.
Practicing zero waste involves composting. While the more traditional aerobic process is practiced here, anaerobic composting, or bokashi, allows for the breakdown of food waste, such as meats, oils, and fatty items. The process utilizes lactobacillus to pre-digest waste matter, resulting in less odors and less composting time.
We have about an acre and a half production garden, and we grow everything that's totally in alignment with our restaurant. We grow garlic and onions and carrots and parsnips and other root vegetables and potatoes that we can store and that we could serve as we move and transition into our fall menu and winter menu. A lot of those root veggies play into the following season's menus. And during the year, all the greens, all the kale and the salads and the radishes and just everything. We grow beans, peas. With that much space, we get to grow a lot and we have a lot of fun with it. And our kids camp actually has one of the plots, so they get out there and tend to their plot.
For the guests who have opted for total emergence, nourishment is offered for refueling and renewing.
During the summer months, May through October specifically, we do offer a complimentary farm breakfast for our overnight guests. Otherwise, it's dinners only. During the summer season, we operate 7 days a week. And we stay quite busy. Make reservations in advance if you can. During the winter, we slow down to 2 nights a week, Friday, Saturday nights.
Tonight, the dinner highlighting bison through multiple courses is a kickoff to the summer season at Bodie Farms. The event is bringing 42 guests to the resort. So where did the inspiration for this evening's feast come about?
The idea totally started with Eric. He said, hey, I want to do an 8-course bison dinner. After a couple months of planning, we put together an awesome night tonight, which we're just so excited about. And it's kind of a way to kick off spring. Everything's starting to green up and our team's starting to staff up for the year. And so this is kind of a fun way that we've all come together to blow some guests away. And we don't always do these ticketed dinners like this. Usually it's just open to the public, you know, by reservation. But the chef wanted to do this special thing and he has gone all out. It is what he's put together is just amazing, and we've had fun promoting it and talking about it and getting ready for it, so we're excited to host it.
Executive Chef Eric Gennison, who graduated from L'Académie de Cuisine in Washington, D.C., spent a year working at the 3-Michelin-star restaurant, The Inn, at Little Washington in Virginia. More recently, Gennison worked at Jam in downtown Bozeman. Here at Bodie Farms,
at this point, we have this incredible culinary team who truly loves to pick food from our gardens, pick our ingredients. And of course, during the winter, we don't have that much on our farm, but sourcing locally when we can. So having that really great relationship with the local farmers, ranchers, and producers has been really important for our entire team.
So what were the beginnings for the leader of the culinary team who is cooking up the inspiration in the kitchen? Chef Gennison, who comes from Maryland, is working his third season at Bodie Farms.
I grew up in a half-Sicilian American household, and I grew up in a family that was super passionate about cooking. My grandfather, he had a custom-built kitchen in the basement, so I come from the classic East Coast Italian-American families eating Sunday sauce and gathered around a table on Sundays. So definitely from a young age, my grandfather inspired me to become a chef, and my mother followed along as well.
From the East Coast, what inspired Gennison to come to Big Sky Country to cook?
What brought me out here is just Montana. It's a beautiful place to be. It's really an inspiring farm-to-table scene out here, and the food is amazing, and the amount of local ingredients and local farmers out here is super exciting, and it's a beautiful place to live and have a family.
On the Bodie Farms website, Gennison professes to liking to cook, hunt, and chop wood.
So I'm a big-time elk hunter, and I grew up mainly doing bird hunting and whitetail hunting on the East Coast.
And for tonight's dinner, where did the theme of serving a multi-course bison dinner come from?
I really grown up with bison all my life. My grandma's half Cherokee Indian, and we grew up eating it at a very young age when it wasn't really available at the supermarkets, or there wasn't really many ranches at all selling bison. So I grew up with it at a very young age, and coming from a hunting family, we've always kind of had it, and it's something I grew up with.
And having grown up with eating and cooking bison, what are some hints in making sure the meat is cooked correctly?
Well, really with bison, I mean, I cook it just like you would beef. It's a little bit leaner, but everything on our menu today is you could do it exactly with beef, and don't overthink it and make sure it's done simply but nicely.
On the menu, Chef is not only offering savory dishes made with bison, but also dessert. Tallow is an ingredient in tonight's ice cream, and mousse.
So tallow is basically the fat from the bison. We do a bunch of bison here at Bodie. So we take all the trimmings and all the fat, render it down, and it's basically an old world cooking fat. Back in the day, your grandparents would have had tallow. Instead of using butter or other ingredients in a dessert, we've simply taken that out and added bison tallow instead of butter. So it's a kind of a tip of the hat to the old world style of cooking.
So where did Chef gain knowledge about making ice cream with tallow?
I had a time at the Inn at Little Washington in Virginia, a 3-star Michelin restaurant, and there was a beef ice cream that we had on the menu, and this is kind of a tip of the hat to my time at the Inn at Little Washington.
This night's dinner will end with a chocolate mousse made with tallow.
So the mousse is totally something we've always thought about doing, and one day as a culinary team, we just decided to try it, and we've found out that it's probably the best ingredient you can use to make chocolate mousse. It's very light, fluffy, and has a tremendous flavor.
So how will tonight's multi-course dinner begin?
Yeah, so we start off with our classic. It's on our menu. It's our bison tartare on heritage Montana corn fry bread. So it's a staple at Bodie Farms. We've had that on the menu all winter long, and people have absolutely loved it. That's a really near and dear dish to my heart, just because that dish is almost purely from Montana.
The first two courses of tonight's dinner follow chef's belief in keeping the meat and seasoning simple. Serving something raw presents the ingredient in its most authentic form.
Next, we go into our bison carpaccio, which is my tip of the hat to my time at the Inn at Little Washington with our marrow ice cream.
The next courses honor the earthy flavors found under the Big Sky, along with what the earth here can produce.
Then we go into our mushroom bisque soup, which is with bison broth. That's your classic take on a mushroom bisque. We're just adding a little Montana and bison flavor to that. It's a really great soup. And then we go into our greens and greens salad, which is a tip of the hat to a bunch of Montana ingredients. We have greens in there from Montana. We have grains, which Montana is a huge producer of grains, and it's kind of in a Mediterranean mix with some tzatziki sauce, a little bit of feta cheese from a mafia farms, and bison kefta.
Already, chef has shown us what can be done with bison, from tartare to carpaccio to soup to grains. We now receive from him a break, a chance to exhale.
And then we go to a palate cleanser, reset, and onto some heavier dishes. Our palate cleanser is just simply a huckleberry palate cleanser. Not much in there other than blended up huckleberries, simple syrup, some mint.
The next dish is one that comes from Chef Gunnison's heritage, but with the incorporation of Montana ingredients.
Then we go to our raviolis. So our raviolis, grew up Italian, so that's a dish near and dear to my heart, and we're just adding a little Montana spin to that. It's all homemade pasta, which we pride ourselves on here, with Montana flour. I would say Montana is definitely underrated as far as their grains, and Montana is like a number one producer of grains. So Montana flour is really excellent. We make pasta here at Bodie Farms, and it's some of the best flour you can get.
The savory portion of the dinner ends with a cut of meat prepared with European techniques.
Then we go to our tenderloin, bison tenderloin, and it's a really great bison filet. We smoke it slightly, add a classic French pomme puree and bison demi-glace to that.
This night's dinner completes with a bison tallow chocolate mousse and cherry coulis. We leave feeling satisfied, but moreover, Chef Gunnison and his team had shared how this prehistoric animal can nourish our appetites.
So we're just trying to elevate the cuisine in Bozeman and just trying to make it so we're connecting the land, we're collecting all these beautiful, wonderful local ingredients, trying to blend them all together in a fine dining setting and put it on a plate.
The bison meat for the dinner at Bodie Farms was supplied by Montrail. At my table, my dining companions were Matt and Sarah Skoldlin, the owners of North Bridger Bison. On this sunny day, I drove out to the Shields Valley from Bozeman under clear blue skies to a valley surrounded by the Gallatin, Crazy, Bridger, and Absaroka Mountains. We meet up with Matt and Sarah, along with their kids, Greta and Otto. So how did this family decide on raising bison?
The idea literally came from reading an article in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle about the National Bison Association having their summer conference in Big Sky, and that the bison industry was growing and they were looking for producers. At that time, I was working for a conservation organization, working on bison policy issues, and our kids were really young and I was really interested in doing something that was tangible, land-based, conservation-based, entrepreneurial on my own. And so when I read the article, I thought, wow, that sounds really, really cool. But I kind of went on with my day because I was like, there's no way we could do that.
And what does Sarah think about this new idea for a tangible land-based business?
Part of it wasn't a surprise because he has always been a passionate person, really wanted to do something that was tangible with conservation, and always really both of us very into food and where food came from. So it wasn't like a total shock. The ranching part was something that took me a while to really wrap my head around.
For both Sarah and Matt, the decision to raise bison was really something different than what they had been doing.
So for me, this is my third career and definitely my final stop because I absolutely love it. But I went to law school and had a short stint as a lawyer in Chicago. And then we moved to Bozeman in 2008. And I did environmental policy work for the Natural Resources Defense Council for 10 years. And then we started the ranch.
Once the couple decided to start the ranch, what needed to be done to further the process?
There were a handful of first steps. One was I read this amazing book called Buffalo for the Broken Heart by Dan O'Brien, who started Wild Idea Buffalo in South Dakota and is a hero of mine. And in that book is where I learned about the modern day field harvesting of bison, which is instead of shipping bison to a slaughterhouse, you just reverse that process and drive out to the pasture where the bison are and kill the bison on the ranch. So it's no stress for the bison, as ethical and humane as it gets, and then no stress in the meat. So the meat's delicious. So that was a big light bulb moment for me. And then after that, when Sarah and I had talked enough that we were really interested in this, I literally typed into Google bison ranching consultant and met a gentleman named Roland Cruz, who lives in Bozeman, has become a very close friend and has been doing basically conservation ranching consultant around the West. And I met with Roland, attended his four-day workshop of his, and then we went into what I called sponge mode, just reading as much as possible, meeting with people. And then through that process in the spring and summer of 2018 is when it sort of gradually shifted from there's no way we can do this to we know we're going to make mistakes, but I think we can do this.
The next challenge was finding land for their operation.
We knew we wanted to be within an hour of Bozeman. We had lived in Bozeman since 2008, and the land piece was really, really hard. But we just kept looking and looking and looking online and eventually found these parcels up here in the Shields Valley and came and visited and fell in love with them immediately. And by late May, early June, it was this or nothing. And we said, if we don't get this land under contract, all of the work we've put into this is going to go on a shelf. And the way things are going, it's probably never going to come off that shelf. So we got the land under contract and then found someone to work with, a really great guy named Forrest out of White Sulphur Springs on fencing. And then we figured out where we were going to get our bison from, these two neighboring ranches west of Shodo along the Rocky Mountain front. And so started putting the big pieces in place.
For the Skoglunds, why did they think raising bison was a good thing?
They've been on this landscape for tens of thousands of years. So they're naturally adapted to the landscape, the plants, the weather, the whole thing. So when it's 40 below in January, we sleep like babies. We know the bison are fine. They breed on their own. They calve on their own in the spring. They do an amazing job defending themselves against carnivores. They're a very self-sufficient animal.
So began North Bridger Bison.
In late January 2019, 95 bison walked off a couple different trucks and things got real very quickly.
For now, North Bridger Bison sells their meat to private consumers. They do not have the necessary permits to supply the restaurant industry.
Because we field harvest our bison here on the ranch, selling by the quarter half whole bison direct to consumer under the custom exempt designation was the simplest way to get going. And so we still hope and plan to ultimately do everything we're doing today the exact same way, but field harvest under state or federal inspection. And then that would open up more avenues for us to sell our meat, like restaurants and smaller quantities. But we started selling quarter half whole bison. And then during COVID, buying in bulk from farmers and ranchers, that really exploded. So we've been able to maintain that same business model, but we would love to at some point expand.
For now, the Skoglunds do their own packaging and mailings. To get the word out about their product, they have had to be ingenious and creative.
We don't have a giant advertising budget. So podcasts, interviews, magazine articles, we have an email newsletter that we send out probably once every couple of weeks. We do social media on Instagram, and then we do a little bit of traditional advertising in the Bozeman area.
From city life to ranching life, what does 10-year-old Otto think about the change his family has made?
It's one of the greatest things ever. Like, you wake up and you go out of your bedroom and then you see, like, the bridges and the sun coming up, and it's just so cool.
Mother Nature's theater might be magical and beautiful, but what are Otto's thoughts about raising bison?
I like how intense they are. Like, they can, like, basically do whatever they, and they've lived and they survived through the Ice Age, which is pretty cool.
So how does Otto help his father with working these animals that were Ice Age survivors?
I help him put out hay and move the bison from pasture to pasture. What we do for a pasture move is we get in our little side-by-side and we whistle to them, and then the leader of the pack, I should say, if it gets their attention, then it comes towards us, and then we start driving again towards the other pasture with the gate opened, and then we go to the side and they all start running through, and it's so cool.
My final question to Otto was whether he enjoyed eating the bison meat.
I like steak ribeye. My dad cooks it amazingly, and it just tastes so good.
And how does his dad cook the meat that makes it so amazing?
Let the steak come to room temperature, salt and pepper, smoking hot cast iron skillet, no more than medium rare, and we're good to go.
One of the best ways to introduce diners to bison meat is to have them come onto the site where the animals are raised. North Bridger Bison was part of Outstanding in the Field and will participate again this summer. Outstanding in the Field was founded by Jim Denovan in 1999 as a radical alternative to the conventional dining experience. It's a roving restaurant, taking farm to table to the next level. Rather than sourcing the ingredients to be brought to a restaurant, the restaurant goes to the source.
We had our first one last summer, and it was such an incredible experience for us as well as everybody else that came, who really got to see what we do, the importance of this food, the importance of knowing where your food comes from. I mean, it really aligned with everything that we believed in.
And the chef last summer was the amazing Eduardo Garcia. Outstanding in the Field came in Friday night, camped on the ranch, and then they start at like 7 a.m. Saturday morning, and by 4:30, everything is ready to go for the guests to arrive, and it was 200 people. And then by Sunday morning, you had no idea they were here. And what the night entails is we start down by the barn, and they have hors d'oeuvres and beer and wine. Jim, the founder and owner of Outstanding in the Field, talked a little bit to the guests, and then I talked about our ranch. So we did this nice long walk, and then they have this super long table that was slightly arcing facing the North Bridgers, and 100 people on one side, 100 people on the other. And so this summer, we have a good friend of ours, the chef Jarrett Risley, who he spent almost 20 years cooking in Asia and then moved to Bozeman a couple years ago, opened the restaurant Shan in Bozeman, which, this is incredible, is currently one of the handful of finalists for a James Beard Award for the best new restaurant in all of the United States. We love Jarrett and his wife, Candace, and we're really, really excited that they're going to be putting on this whole meal on July 13th.
Dining in the great outdoors can be an elevated experience. Many thanks to Bodie Farms and North Bridger Bison for sharing their story and showcasing what bounty can be found in Montana. Music for Flavors Under the Big Sky has been provided by Parker Brown. As always, I am grateful to you listeners for your support. I'm Stella Fong.